Do you feel more than ever that you need to make a shift in your wellness? Listen to the podcast Inner Wellness with Dr. Naz Parsian. Let's make the shift happen.
Hello, wellness seekers. We have actually another episode on a very interesting topic. Before we are starting the topic, I'll let you know that I have been actually, possibly you understand that I have a little bit of gap in my podcast. And I'll tell you the reason. I have been burnt out by the social media for some time. And I just realized that, I need to look after myself. So it's time for self-care and I don't want to actually get burned out, and I'm actually helping others. And that's now about me. So I have a wonderful friend of mine who is working in this area, and I just came across to, you know, to the social media, to his programs and some relevant posts about burnout. So yes, I just decided to, and you possibly know Emmanuel Anthony, that we had Emmanuel on, not sure about the episode number, but we had him before earlier in 2021 when we discussed about the values and leave our values for 2021. So I was just thinking, this is the time that I can get Emmanuel again onto the board to discuss about this very important topic, burnout, and how we can prevent it, how we can manage it, and yeah, what new and alternative strategies we can just apply to handle it, handle this situation. So welcome Emmanuel for the second time to Inner Wellness Podcast.
Thank you. Very grateful to be on the program for a second time.
Yeah, I'm very glad that we have you on the board again. And tell us again a little bit about yourself for the audience who perhaps, you know, maybe don't know you, or and then talk a little bit about that. Do you have any program, or what is that burnout, and what was, because I'm very curious to know more about your points and your opinions on this important topic.
Thank you. So I'm an inspirational speaker, researcher, writer, and consultant for the last 11 years. I've worked with thousands of clients in order to help them achieve their goals in all seven areas of life: physical, financial, mental, spiritual, social, vocation, and family. And I've specialized within the relationship realm. I've also specialized within many mental disorders as well, and helping clients overcome those. But the realm of the work that I work in is really diversified, because it's to do with the mind, and clients can come up with so many different aspects of the mind.
Yeah.
And leading into that, one of the things that you've asked about is burnout. And I can give you a few different perspectives on this, but this topic I can cover really in depth. So I'll try and restrict
it. I know. Yeah.
Many, many years ago, I remember I discovered there was a thing called time. And I just questioned it. I said, what's a 24-hour day? Why are we running in a 24-hour day? Does everybody run in a 24-hour day? And for those that do, why do we do that? I have an option. This is a choice. And as I started to look at that, I started to reflect on my life. And at the time, I just discovered my highest value, human evolution, development, and growth. It's what I specialize in. And I love to learn, research, write, and teach about today. Mm-hmm. And I was transitioning from a graphic design career. And I said, well, if I used to work 9 to 5, that was the basic idea. I did a little more than that, but that's the idea. And I said, well, if I did this new career, would I want to work 9 to 5? And I said, well, before I start work, I listen to podcasts about it. When I'm in the gym, I'm listening to podcasts about it. When I'm working, I'm watching YouTube clips about it. This is more of a lifestyle than it is something that I just want to do, you know, 9 to 5. So it's a mission.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, well, if I add an extra hour to the day, what would that do to my competition? I'd get 7 hours. And then I said, what about 14? I get over one workday. And mm-hmm. I really went out to work as much as I possibly could. Mm-hmm. And that worked really, really well. But there were certain challenges that came with that because we're here to master all seven areas of our life: physical, financial, mental, spiritual, social, vocation, and family. It's perfectly normal for us to add more emphasis, value, and time in the areas that are highest in our values. So if you're into personal training or your physique and your appearance, you'll put more time into that, potentially less time into finances or another area of life. Because in order to become a master at something, it takes hundreds of hours, and therefore other areas are going to be minimized. But those that have the greatest level of longevity and mastery in life and balance, because all ecosystems within nature, when you study science, you find out it's all deriving towards order, and order is balance. As you start to look at that, you go, well, what's the effect of those sacrifices? So for me, I went from bodybuilding to working a lot, and I found that I lost energy, wasn't as energetic. I was energetic from what I was doing, but I was losing energy from not working out or exercising as much. I couldn't maximize the potential of what I could do in my work. And then I noticed that would cause some mental challenges for me. And then I'd have, bipolar style moods in of that.
Yeah.
I would be really energized and really into my work, but then really drained the next day and not wanting to get out of bed. And that was my body. And because it's all symptomology and feedback. And that was a symptom to say, hey, focus on you.
They had a message for you. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So as I started to study that feedback within myself, and as, I was working with hundreds of clients a year, still something I do today, but at that period, it was really full on. And I started to realize the same patterns. Then from there, I started to say, okay, well, with my clients and myself, let's start to implement some changes here. Cause it's pretty obvious that whatever you run away from, you run into. Mm. You ignore your finances, you have massive financial challenges.
That's right.
Your mental state. You ignore your mental state, you end up with a lot of mental challenges. Well, obviously you need to master it all, and we're attracting whatever's necessary.
Yeah, it's an attraction. Law of attraction.
100%. It's the other side of the law of attraction. The law of attraction in its mainstream form always talks about if you think positive, you attract positive, but it's not actually the case.
It's both ways.
100%. Yeah. So that's the true law of quantum entanglement, which is what, the energetic laws. And that's what that explains. Just, that, but I know that some people in your audience may not. Now, from there, I started to implement some changes, and I created what was known as a wealth maximizer calendar. Wealth to me is a mastery in all seven areas of life. Other people may have a different definition, but that was my definition and still is. And I started to say, well, let's have a look at all the areas of mastery, because there are seven areas of power, but they can also be seven areas of weakness, depending on whether I choose to empower myself consciously or I wait for a massive challenge that builds the value and the void for me to master that area. Mm-hmm. And I then went out and the areas that I loved, it was easy to set goals in. I was already doing that unconsciously. And it was easy. And the areas that I didn't like, they were the ones that I didn't want to master. And I realized that the key was to set goals that were aligned with what my values were.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no use in saying I'm going to save $1 million if it was just to save $1 million. I wasn't inspired by that. And the word inspired means inner driven, and motivation means you need motive from the outside. I wanted to cut all motivation out and link it into what was inner driven, because that has longevity. So I just started to link it towards my values. I said, okay, well, I want to make X amount of money that would allow me to grow my business and play a bigger game and do these programs. Now I'm inspired by that. So I found that the more that I linked all the seven areas to and the goals within that, instead of waiting for a massive challenge, I selected huge challenges to go for. Because since we're not going to avoid support and challenge, pain and pleasure, challenge and support in those dynamics, I wanted to find how can I then attack those in a way that I'm inspired to grow and evolve and transition to the next level. And as I did that, I holistically started to feel a level of fulfillment, which is feeling full. And it makes sense. Why fill two glasses when you can fill seven? You can also feel more fulfilled with seven.
That's right.
So that created such a profound result. And I found that instead of having this extreme bipolar style extremism, and yes, some of my goals in vocation meant that, 20% of those didn't get achieved in a year to the same degree. Mm-hmm. But it was only because I was putting an emphasis in other areas before I delegated those off. But I realized that I was then started running a marathon instead of a sprint, where I just, you know, if you try and run a sprint and a marathon, you're going to have to stop, slow down, take a knee, relax, and then get back into it. And it's not the wisest idea. And life is a marathon.
Yeah.
So as I did that, I stopped burning both sides of the candle. I found that I loved and appreciated my work a hell of a lot more. I loved and appreciated the other areas. And I also realized that it's time away from things is just as important as time within them, because that's when you get to reflect and appreciate.
Exactly. Yeah.
The relationship's a great example of that as well. Renee, my fiance, and I, we appreciate time away from each other equally as much as we appreciate time with each other.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. A lot of people are saying that, you know, so the couples or, you know, lovers must be, you know, separate for a while. So
you never know what the example I give my clients is you get a brand new couch, you know, you've updated your old one. If you're into that kind of thing and, you know, you've just renovated your house, it's a brand new thing. You can't stop looking at it. You take photos, you put it on Instagram. 4 years later, you're not doing that. 4 years later, you sit on it.
Yeah.
It's just the couch. You see it day in and day out. Well, that's what happens in our relationships, unless you take some time off, have a partner go to Italy for a week or a month or something like that. When they come back, you can't wait to talk to them, hear about them, see them, kiss them, and everything else that comes with that. But,
Giving each other some me time, you know?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, exactly. And it's the balance between altruism and narcissism, self and other. So I then started implementing that in a level 3 of my programs, because at level 1, a lot of clients come in with very, you know, small, trivial problems. They'll seem major to them, but once they overcome them, they'll go, oh, okay, that wasn't as big as I thought, because of the time they're actually able to create results in that. Then at my level 2, they learn the tools to be able to do that at an advanced level, so they can actually take on any challenge that happens within their lives. Because if they come to me with a grief and we overcome that, that doesn't mean that they're not going to have anger or sadness or hurt in other periods of their life. But at that level 3, I noticed that as I was helping, could we call that life mastery, where we start to implement goals and strategies for all 7 areas of life for the next 50 years, I realized that unless my students also started to set a wealth maximizer calendar where they looked at their week Monday through to Sunday and started to block out times for all 7 areas of mastery. And I like to do a little bit of each every single day. That's what inspires me. But most people will select to do one of the 7 every couple of days or
exactly.
That kind of thing.
Most people are focusing on 1 or maximum 2. I know. Absolutely.
Yeah, 100%. And both of those are fine. There's nothing wrong with either strategy. Yeah. As long as at the end of the week, you're nailing all 7.
You address all of them. Yeah.
100%. And as my students started to do that, what they were doing is they were becoming masters of their time, and they were being masters and being much more proactive in terms of how they use that. Now, I noticed that some students didn't like that, and they had the same similar limiting belief that I did, which was that a calendar was restricting. But I put time aside. This sounds funny and like an oxymoron, but I put time aside to be spontaneous on my weekends from 1 or 12. Between 10:30 to 12, depending on when my last client is on a Saturday, I am unreachable by my clients until Monday, 8 o'clock in the morning when I'm back in the office.
Yeah.
And during that time, I fill it with a range of things I love, but sometimes I don't fill it with anything at all. I just like to be spontaneous with my partner. So there's time is set aside for that, to do that. And it's amazing things that we do. If I want to take a break during the week, I do that as well. But the rest of the week, it's pretty much organized with physical mastery when I'm doing that, social mastery when I'm communicating with people that I'm inspired to socialize with, financial mastery, all of those in there. But every single time I've seen clients do that, the burnout goes down, because they have a long-term strategy that's a marathon-like strategy, where they're keeping accountability and they're monitoring and making sure that they're effective in how they're looking at all 7 areas of life. So that takes out, you know, working like crazy day in and day out, because it would take away from too many of the other areas of life as well. And that's what people need to do. They need to be accountable for their time, accountable for where they prioritize their time, get rid of linguistics, you know, or be really good. There's a subject I teach called linguistic analysis, and people will say things and not know the meaning of what that's doing inside of our neurology and our psychology. So if you say, I can't do that, I can't manage my time, and quite often the mind won't look beyond that. It'll just set that parameter, creates a box, and now you're inside of that box, and that's your thinking neurologically. So when anything comes out after that, or somebody challenges you, there's two options we always have. We can defend our limitations or we can fight for our freedom. And not knowing it, their linguistics will say things, I can't, I don't. They'll get angrier. And they'll defend their limitations. And there was a great saying I was taught when I started human evolution, development and growth. If you fight hard enough for your limitations, you get to keep them.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, so setting that timetable, keeping an eye on yourself, linguistically analyzing yourself, that is such a rigorous task. Mm. But clients and students find that that's one of the best things for self-managing themselves outside of me. It'd be expensive if you just saw me every single day, but if you learn how to self-manage yourself and catch those words, that's what you say, you know, you'll catch yourself saying, I can't do that. You go, oh, I'm choosing not to. It's a big difference. You go, okay, well, how do I make that different choice? You know, if I want to make the choice of the opposite of that, how do I start doing that? What are the steps? And that's the other thing. It's what are the steps? This year, one of the major things that has been a reoccurring saying at Quantum Equilibrium, my company, is progress over perfection. So with all of our students have been saying, we're not looking for perfection. We aim and strive for that because it's a beautiful thing to strive for. It'll push you harder than anything else.
Yeah.
But nobody can be perfect. We're just striving for the highest level of success.
Yeah.
But really what we're looking for is progress every day. So if you set a timetable, you put in there, you block it out the same. But I'll give you a good example of my Monday. Up at 5, straight to the gym by 5:30. And then I'm back home by 6:30. That's physical mastery.
Yeah. Yeah.
From there, Renee, my partner, might get up at 7:30. So now for an hour, I've got mental mastery. That's my own time. Study what I want, do what I want, read what I want, maybe just do nothing, play on my phone. But whatever that is, it's mental mastery. So two areas by 7:30. Before most people are up, I've already got two areas of mastery complete. Then I'll spend time with Renee between 7:30 till about 8:30 or something before she goes to work. Now that's relationship mastery. So those three areas are in high order and organization. Then between 8 or 8:30, I start work and I work all the way through to 7:30 at night. And in my work, I do social mastery. I'm more inspired to speak to people and help them create changes in their lives than I am to go coffee with an old friend and hear them whinge about life. That's just not my form of socializing. And I don't drink alcohol or anything. So nightclubs and that, not my thing anymore.
Yeah.
But, so that's my social. Vocation is my career. Financial, it's how I make money. Mental, it's what stimulates me the most. People ask questions out of anywhere and I've got to have the answers or solutions or point or direct them in that area. So I hit about 4 or 5 areas in that area. Then 7:30, like a stock market, I'm closed. Business is done. There's nothing more I can do. Anything I didn't get done is the next day. But 7:30 through till 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock at night, it's a mixture of relationship mastery and my own mental mastery.
Yeah.
And I do things that are non-work related. So I've hit about 7 areas in that day. I know that I've chipped away a little bit at each one of those areas. I know where the cutoff on certain areas are. So I know that once they're done, my mind can go and relax and unwind with the start and then end of day things. So that's what people need to get for themselves. I may look at mine and go, dude, that is boring. How do you work 12 hours a day, etc.? That's fine. That just means that my wealth maximizer isn't in alignment. What would be your wealth maximizer? They're personalized to each person and they need to figure out what would work for them. But the truth of the matter is, the more inspired the lifestyle you're living, the more congruent you are with your values. And in accordance with that, you're probably going to find your work hours are a little bit more than other people because for you, your vocation becomes your vacation. It's not draining. It's actually highly loving, but you've got to learn how to restrict the time in that so that you have time for those other areas of life to blossom in them. So that way you can restrict or be in control of the challenges to a high degree.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Oh, well, that's lots of information. That actually, that timetable sounds amazing. You know, the self-mastery timetable that you included all the 7 areas. But the thing is, I actually wanna pick a couple of words that you mentioned, you know, in your discussion. So the self-mastery is the key, definitely in all areas. But another word that I'm really interested just to pick is perfection. Because that is possibly sometimes a problem. you know that I was dealing with that problem nearly for my whole life, maybe. And at that time, I didn't know that is a problem because I'm not sure if you're familiar with Enneagram. In Enneagram, there are actually nine different types of personality that you can relate to one or more than one you know, one of them. I always, you know, relate to more than one of them. But one of my strongest one always before now, definitely, because, you know, I'm changing now and I'm changing my attitude and a lot of things. But in my previous 20, 30 years, was basically the heavy part was basically the high achiever personality. And I think, you know, the high achiever people are just crazy, crazy perfectionists. And a lot of problems, even physical problems I dealt with in my life was as a result of that being high achiever. So I just dealt with migraine for so many years, with chronic back pain. And now, you know, all of them just kind of healing now. But I think, you know, this is important. So the perfectionism is not a bad thing, you know, in general, but a lot of times it's going to be a real block or barrier for our self-care and for even for our self-growth and even for success. Because if burnout is an outcome, then we definitely don't go successfully towards the best outcome. So what do you suggest? Because my go-to now is basically, you possibly know that I'm a heart-centered and my work is more on heart. My go-to is and has been in the latest years that I dealt with my perfectionism, was more about connecting to my heart and just focusing on love and loving myself and whatever I love, you know, in my life. And in this way, I was nurturing myself and my life and my moments. And gradually, step by step, that sense of perfectionism indeed transformed to a sense of loving flow. So that's why, you know, this time that I felt burnt out, to be honest, was because I kind of pushed myself to follow something. And then I got a message from my body that burning out was a message that you are now off track of your own flow. And I got my message. So yeah, I shut down, you know, quite a bit of things in my life and I started back to my heart. So what do you think about that? So because I think love and passion is not always, you know, working with head brain. A lot of time it's working with basically your body and your sensation and with your heart. And when we focus more on, you know, just all logical goals to follow, and we get absolutely separated from heart, we may just experience burnout. That is my understanding. What do you think about it?
Yeah, there's a few things there. So I've written down a few items and I'll go between them. The first one is our personality tests. I believe they're all flawed. I used to have one that was called the Myers-Briggs when I previously started learning NLP.
They had one,
and they, you know, a lot of psychological models want to put people into boxes. There's only one problem. There's one fundamental principle. Every human being has every single human trait, action, and inaction within them. In psychology, if you study, you know, all the way back to the ancient Greeks and Plato, you'll see that they started off with a saying that was that everything around you is a reflection of you.
Yeah.
So you can't see something in somebody else unless you have it in you.
I totally agree. Yeah. And yeah, I think, you know, every single time, to be honest, the results you get from these tests might be different because every single time you are different. Yeah.
So every single time a person does that test and then they get a outcome, they put themselves in a box, but give them half an hour with me, I'll show them the other side of that outcome and they'll go, oh, hold on. Because every human being is a perfectionism in an area that they love. They want to have perfection and strive towards that. And every being human being is the opposite and an idiot in areas that they hate. Mm-hmm. They lack perfectionism. And mm-hmm. we do both equally in quantity and quality throughout our lives.
Yeah.
So I would much rather take people out of their boxes and get them, because you can never be whole if you're trying to be half. Every time you delete a part of yourself, you attract that part in somebody else to bring it back into your awareness.
Yeah.
The people that delete and leave in polarized black and white fundamental thinking have fundamental psychology. The brain doesn't work that way. So you have psychological breakdown and dis-ease. The body's not at ease, and yeah. disorder. The mind is not in order. And then that reflects through the chemical and hormone distribution through their autonomic nervous system. Black mm-hmm. and white thinking will create black and white extremisms mm-hmm. in emotional polarization. So that's the first thing. If that's one of the first challenges that you experienced there, was having that, I'm a perfectionist. No, you're a perfectionist and you're not. And in learning how to embrace both of those is what really needs to happen.
Yeah.
Now, the second thing is the perfectionism. There's nothing wrong with striving for perfection. But what people need to realize is that there's a risk and a reward in everything that we do. So striving for that, quite often the reason that people will have a challenge in their life, if you look at Michael Jordan, for example, his recent documentary came out, which was The Last Dance. And if you watch mm-hmm. that, there's this high polarization for success. But in doing so, he's made a lot of sacrifices, lost a lot of relationships, and you get to see the outcomes of that in its one of its most polarized states. So one of the exercises that I give clients to do is I take them to take that human trait of perfectionism, and I get them to own it in their life by writing 200 places in which they strive for perfection. And then I get them to see the complementary opposite. And I get them to write 200 ways in which they're the opposite and they're not interested in perfectionism. And then when they see that, they go, oh, I'm both. Why did I have the idea that was one mm-hmm. about the other? So mm-hmm. that brings them into balance there. Then we take perfectionism, and if they've got it on a pedestal, meaning they're exaggerating the positive and minimizing the negative, it's a delusion. You always have two sides.
Yeah.
Then we take the perfectionism trait. We take all seven areas of life, physical, financial, mental, spiritual, social, vocation, and family. And through the application of the DeMartini method, we get them to balance out their perceptions until they can see all of the drawbacks of their perfectionism.
Yeah.
So an example of that is, when I thought that perfection in my career was working 8 a.m. till 8 p.m., having a stacked client roster from front to end, where I was serving people all around the world, and I wrote all the drawbacks in the seven areas, I realized that I was making a lot of money, but I couldn't spend the money because I was mm-hmm. working basically 6-7 days a week. I would have an impact on my relationship and the connectedness to my partner. It would restrict the amount of time that I'd have with my kids in the future. It restricted the amount of time I had with my nieces and my nephews. It was minimizing the relationship potential with my parents and the connectedness. And as I went through and realized all of the items, I went, oh, wow. Reaching that level of perfection that I'm inspired by, but sometimes infatuated, seeing the positive and the mm-hmm. negative, that has a benefit and a drawback, which humbled me and made me much more appreciative for where I am right now. Then mm-hmm. I saw all the benefits of not being a perfectionist and still being a student and learning. And I get my clients to write 200 benefits of that in all seven areas of life. And when they do that, and they go, oh, actually, I'm really grateful. And what they get is presence. Because mm-hmm. the mind can't be present if it's pointing towards a space in the future saying my life would be better when I get to there. That's the infatuation. And then in turn, the bigger the infatuation for the future, the more resentment they have for here and now. Because look at me, look how much I suck.
Yeah.
So the minute they saw both, they went, my life is amazing right now. And it'll be just as amazing then. But they realize that there's a desire for balance and they're not at that point yet. And while they're moving there, they may as well learn how to create the balance that would allow them to appreciate both of those. And then they also realize that whenever they perfect whatever they're calling is perfectionism, they'll actually have another level of perfectionism. Just the same as an athlete in America may be amazing at college basketball, but the minute they go to the NBA, the next level, they're just, they're the newest students at the lowest mm-hmm. level of their education in there. And now they're moving to that. And that's why everybody realizes, no matter how much you learn, the next, you'll have another area of that field or another area that you'll realize you'll be a student in. So it's embracing the student and the master. Yeah. Now, back to the burnout situation that you were talking about, it goes back to the 70s. You had seven areas of life that you had a plan for, and you were keeping an eye on that, and you'd been realistic about your perfectionism and keeping that in stable. It wouldn't have ever got to that point. because as you were finishing off your day, instead of putting a few extra hours into work but minimizing your physical body, you would have said, work's over, time to now go out and do my 1 hour walk while I think and reflect about life. And in doing that, you would have started to run a marathon and not the sprint. And yes, some of your goals would have been saturated and taken back by 10% at the end of the week. But to take away 10%, but increase your fulfillment, energy, vitality, and appreciation for life increases the probability of longevity. That means instead of just doing that career for 5 or 6 years and then wanting to run away and have escapism from it, which I see business owners do a lot of the time, they run off to a holiday in Bali. Mm-hmm. Now they can go to Bali, but it isn't an escapism last minute. It's something that is part of their process. It's part of what they do to make sure that they maintain the balance and it's regularly scheduled in. So... and then the last item that you said, which was the head and the heart, there's no separation between these two. Every time that people say to me, I'm thinking with my head more than my heart, I said, no, you're thinking imbalanced, polarized perceptions of your head, which are creating symptomology within the heart. In other words, if you're highly stressed, you have a lot of adrenaline going to the heart, and that's a feedback. And quite often there's this thought that the head is, you know, fully logical and the heart is all emotional, but it's not the case. What the head thinks, the heart produces the chemicals and hormones for. They're one and the same. And when you bring both of those into alignment, your psychology and your physiology will actually align, and then you'll feel a sense of fulfillment. And a lot of people aren't doing that. And I've worked with thousands of clients to do that. So what we'll do is they'll say, well, And it comes down to energy and essence as well, and matter. So we live in a world of energy. Everything in the universe is made out of energy, but we also live in a world of matter, and the things around us that we have, they are matter. They're physical objects.
Yeah.
The key is to live within both. If you live within one too extreme more than the other, you have certain drawbacks. So the people that go, I'm a hippie. I'm going to sell everything I have. I'm just going to live out in Bali, and I'm just going to not really work. What they end up doing is working a lot of their lives to make money so they can do that at a very minimal wage in order to do that. For a person that is working all the time but uninspired by what they're doing, which is what most people say, it's all head, but it's not. It's just a person that's not inspired by what they're doing, then that person feels like they're not living by their heart, but really the symptoms that they're getting of stress and everything coming through the heart is based on them not having a spiritual mission, and they're living too much in the physical. The real key is living in both, where you find out. And that's why you're seeing so many personal development programs. What is your why? What is your why? And what they're saying by what is your why is, what is the deeper meaning and purpose that will activate maximum human potential inside of you and switch you on to the greatest degree where you have the longest energy and vitality? And that's a spiritual essence. But once you figure out what that is, you have to somehow put that into a physical goal in the real tangible world and create a mission out of that and go do that. And that's what people see as the mind. And the people that connect both of those two together in as many areas as life as possible, they're living in both those realms. And they're the ones that create the greatest levels of success.
Yeah, that connection is important. Yeah. So I think the reason that people sometimes saying, you know, you are more head or you are more heart is basically about that these heart, at that situation, heart and head are not aligned. And definitely, you know, it's coming with a conflict somehow, somewhere. I'm not sure if it is right or not using, you know, your head or your heart, but I believe
they're metaphors.
It's a metaphor.
I feel they're metaphors, but the problem that a lot of people have linguistically using those two words, and pardon me for cutting you off, is that they then try and go think that the heart is better than the head, or the head is better than the heart, and each person fights for each level of polarization. But the truth is no, because when you study the universe, you have physiology, psychology, biology, and you go into all of these different ologies and sciences. They're not separate.
Definitely, they are not separate.
They're all different expressions of the same thing. So if the formulas do not align in each of how they work together, then somewhere along there, one of those ologies has it incorrect, because the universe is made out of energy and everything is an expression of that energy vibrated through. So that's why when people say the head and the heart, I go, no, your whole body holistically works with it.
We have one body, exactly. The whole body
and communicates all the way through. Every thought and perception that you have changes cell physiology.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a simple thought in the mind through neurology, passed throughout the mind, through the body, through the autonomic nervous system, sympathetic nervous system, cardiovascular, every part of you receives that information. We already know that through quantum entanglement, because they found out that we have non-local communication, meaning that all particles, positive and negative, are communicating, and it's not space-bound, and every part communicates with every other part of the universe. It's the most interesting thing ever. So if the whole universe is communicating with it, our bodies are part of that. And the wisest thing we can do is learn. And there's even a Japanese gentleman that, he had the water thing. I can't remember what it was, but he experimented with thought and water, and then with a microphone had a look at how the water was changing based on what his thoughts were on the water crystals or something like that. So that's what's happening with our body. And the minute we have alignment and a holistic ability to create change, the mind and the heart come together. But that's the only reason I say that. People, be cautious, because you'll try and be one without the other, and all you realize is you're selling yourself from one delusion to another. You're still in the same problem. You're just on the other side of it, and it looks different.
Absolutely. I always say, as soon as we start to separate, separate the parts, we start to get into conflicts. And alignment definitely can be achieved when we know that there is definitely no separation, and they are all very closely interconnected. But I still believe that heart is a leader.
I'd say it's very important. But a great saying by DeMartini is, I'm going to probably stuff this up, but it basically says along the lines of, if you have heart, but you don't have a mission, you're motionless. You're not going to move anywhere. But if you have the head, but without the heart, it doesn't matter where you're moving, because it doesn't have any purpose in its direction. So you're still stuck.
Definitely, they can't exist without each other. They can't. Yeah. They can't exist. Yeah. So when I'm saying leader, definitely leader cannot exist without people or without organization or whatever, so they are definitely existing. And so it's a very strong connection.
A great degree of mastery and desire to master both is the ultimate, because then we realize that that both of those are serving. They're like the carrot and the stick. They're just different ways of having mastery, but both of them create a duality of what we need. And even if I look at my inspired mission, it started off with the heart. I really want to go out and serve millions of people. But if I just stayed in that place and never do anything, I had to create programs, systems, go out, do talks like this. There's so many things I have to do in the physical world. But as long as I align my heart and my mind, where if you ask me questions about this, I would talk about this at a coffee with a friend all day without getting paid. So now my heart and the physical world and my mind, they're all aligned and they're one and the same. And that's really what it comes down to. And those are the greatest level of mastery that realize not just the seven areas of life, but you can also see it in cultures. The greater the degree of separation between parts, the more fundamental the thinking and the most fundamental.
Absolutely.
The most fundamental societies are always the ones that hold humanity back, because they want to hold on to the past. The more balance and neutral thinking, then the greater the level of evolution. That's when we start to come up with our arts and psychology and things that explore both sides, because the mind has the ability to see both and explore both to the greatest degree. So much the same within ourselves. We can never have absolute greatness to the highest degree with a great amount of physiological wellness and well-being unless we bring the parts together instead of trying to split them apart.
Totally agree. Absolutely agree. Because I think the problem today, in the world and with the humanity is exactly like that. When we don't see the whole things, in the interconnection to each other, and we focus on one. And that's, unfortunately, I should say, even that's sometimes, a problem, because, I'm very a spiritual person, and I worked with my, in my academic area, I worked with the spirituality and, disease. So I totally agree that, spirituality now clearly married with science. However, I still see sometimes, some extremes, you know, in one side and just ignoring the other side.
Both of them will have that, and they'll be based on the voids. So if you meet somebody that had a lot of challenges with science and scientific approaches, they will create a void for the spiritual realm.
That's
right. If they get even a tiny little bit of a result that was more than what they got through certain scientific processes, then they'll go out of their way to completely reject one and promote the other. Much the same in the opposite with science, whereas true science and spirituality, when you see it at work, it's a very beautiful thing. But I'd have to say that most of the time, like you, I'm looking at polarizations of each side that don't have a lot of fundamental, you know, principles or basements behind them. Here's a great one: positive thinking. To a lot of people in the, you know, personal development, you got to do positive thinking. You got to do this. I go, no way. There's no way I'm interested in it.
Yeah.
Positive thinking only has one place.
Yeah.
To move you from a negative place to a balance. But exactly. Most people want to sell you from being really negative to really positive. Now you've gone from one delusion to another.
Yeah.
So you're on unstable ground of thinking negative of everything.
Yeah.
Now you've gone to unstable ground of exaggerating and being infatuated of everything.
Mm-hmm.
The ground can be taken from underneath you, and all you're going to do is bipolar during your emotions. So
it is
a tough task for anybody.
Absolutely. To find.
It's taken me over, you know, almost $500,000 in study to even get to the place where working with enough clients over the years and learning enough of these principles and seeing a diverse mix of complementary opposite studies to be able to find out what were the truths and what are the fads, the things that won't stand the test of time. So yes, it is a challenging thing for anybody in life to figure out. And even for you and I, you know, we may be seen as experts to a degree because we specialize in studying in this field, you know, for X amount of hours per week or communicate with people that are high up in this field. But even in doing that, we're still students to life and doing nothing more than putting the puzzle pieces together.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We just may be more inspired than others to put those puzzle pieces together because that's what inspires us in doing that.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I actually had a talk with a friend about, you know, perpetual positivity. And I just said, this is unfortunately something that is going to be sometimes a little bit dangerous, to be honest. And
it's completely dangerous.
Yeah.
So here's a great example. If I take somebody that's highly perceiving negative and they meet a partner and they go, oh, my life's going to be so good now. I've just met this new woman. She's all positive, never negative, always beautiful, always supportive, never mean.
Yeah.
And they, imagine they just kept doing that for 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Nobody can listen to that without thinking, no, there's no such thing as that.
Yeah.
When you support her values, she'll open up and what you'll call positive towards you. When she challenges your values, she'll reprimand you. And because every partnership is a mixture of similar and opposite pairs of value systems, and there are 7 areas of mastery, and some of the areas that you're most inspired and higher in your values are lower on hers and vice versa, she's going to challenge you to grow in the areas that are high in her values. And she's going to, you're going to do the same to her, and you're going to find conflict within that. There's going to be a range of reasons from past baggage, everything that comes into the relationship, because part of that is growing and evolving together. And if you want to see that, just go to a family dynamics. I've asked this question of hundreds, if not thousands, of people over the last 11 years. In your family dynamics, did you have brothers and sisters? Majority of cases, yes. If not, did you have mom and dad? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Were there fights in the household weekly, if not daily? Great. That was your family. When you start dating somebody and live together, they're your family. Why would there be a complementary opposite to that? If you had that before, it'll be the same when you create your own family. Different arguments, different fights, but all of that. So that exaggeration is a fantasy. It's a one-sided delusion. It can never exist. And the minute that the opposite occurs, a person is not resilient for it.
Yeah.
They haven't planned for it. And the greater the fantasy, the higher the fantasy, the greater the fall.
Yeah.
And that's when you end up with people being suicidal. I've spoken about this as well. Suicide is nothing more than extreme polarization in perceptions.
I totally agree.
Either extreme addictions or extreme resentments.
Mm.
And when you have extremes of psychology, that then represents in physiology. There's no difference between the two.
Yeah.
And that means that you have something that starts to occur. Whenever you have extremes in an infatuation, you can't get it out of your head. Psychologically, you think about the same thing again and again, and physiologically out of your body. Now, in an infatuation, which is exaggerated positive, that's where you're infatuated with a partner and you can't stop thinking about them. But you also have the opposite where you're scared of them leaving you, scared of them being with somebody else, etc. So you'll get really addictive, highly addictive behavior, highly possessive behavior, all of those things. Now you also have the opposite where you have extreme negatives. I'm going to kill this person. You think all kinds of psychological things that would have huge repercussions and, 6 years in jail or 20 years in jail, you'll be thinking the other way around because you'll see that it wasn't the wisest strategy. But either one of those extremes, when you think extreme, the mind and the body, the greater the degree of the extremism, the more it occupies time and space in the mind and the body. And then what happens is a person will create suicide. Once again, everything's leading back to equilibrium. Suicide is representative of forever peace and not feeling that pain, right? So it's an extreme positive strategy. For an extreme negative experience, I can't get this out of my mind. It's going to last forever. Everything I've tried hasn't worked. I can't get out of my body. So one's entrapment, one's liberation. That's what it is. It's a strategy. And that's where people create it. They don't create it when something small happens, milk drops on the floor or something. If they've got, that's a low perceptual imbalance for most people. It's for the extremes. And that's why whenever I hear somebody say, I'm doing positive psychology, I said, no, you're doing delusional psychology. And the dangers of that are that the higher you go and the more you invest in one side, the lower you're going to fall. And playing between those two extremes can have a massive impact, not just on the adrenal gland, but on the body. It ages the body too. If you think of someone that's highly stressed, white hairs, aging faster than what they, I've met friends from school and I've seen them and thought to myself, we are the same age. Why do you look 20 years older than me? And then as I speak to them and they start to linguistically explain what's been happening in their lives, I'm like, oh, not only have they experienced a lot of stress, they still are in the way that they're speaking.
Yeah.
And as you exaggerate the stress, you increase adrenaline to the heart, you increase the amount of heartbeats from the heart. And that therefore has an aging impact on the body because that has a certain amount of heartbeats. And if you go over that, like a car, there's wear and tear and you increase the usability of that. The body's exactly the same.
Yeah. Oh, totally relate actually. We live in a judgmental world that we keep judging, positive, negative, and we just try to put everything in the box and we forget about that we are complex human being as a whole, a combination of everything. Just accept you are you. A combination of everything is happening around you. So I just try to not define anything, to be honest, as positive or negative, Emmanuel. And I think all we need is just being comfortable with who we are in every single moment.
Yeah, and that's it's a science and a skill. So what happens to a lot of people is they'll look at a social media feed, Facebook or something, because they're not hanging out with you 24 hours a day. And I'll say, well, the iPad said to me, man, you live a very positive life. No, I don't. I live a positive and a negative life, depending on what your set of values are. If I'm a huge meat eater, I love all different types of meat. If you're a vegetarian, I'm a negative person. I'm highly into the DeMartini method and very specific in the methods that I teach. If you're into NLP in many other areas and you ask me about them, you're not going to like my opinions. I'm going to be a negative person to you.
Yeah.
So, sometimes I work with clients that are ready to transition out of their relationships. And I'm honest with them. And I say, I'm not here to make you stay with your partner. That's not something I can do. I'm here to dissolve the emotions and get down to the root of what it is you really want to do inside of yourself, and then help you take those action steps so you can liberate you and your partner into either transitioning forward or moving away from each other, whatever's most fulfilling. But I'm here to bring that out. So if you speak to somebody's partner that I just helped them break up with, I'm not going to be a positive person in their mind if they still wanted to be with them. So there's this misconception, but that misconception can be altered very quickly. And the best way I usually metaphor to my clients or the metaphor that I tell them is if you only saw me on social media doing a Facebook Live once a week, I can look really positive. But if you worked within my business for 3 days a week, it would be hard for me to be extremely positive because you'd see the challenges, especially with COVID and stuff, different things that have occurred, and you'd see a range of human emotions inside of me. So it's harder to have that perception. But if you worked for me full-time as my PA, you'd actually see me more than my fiance. Now it's impossible for me to have that. Now, if you're my fiance and my partner and you see me every day and night and hear everything that other people don't hear, it's absolutely impossible for you to see one side. Now, if you were me and you lived in my body and you had to hang out with me 24 hours since the first minute I was born, you realize that that can't exist. So the greater the degree of time, and as well as the closer the proximity to the person within that, you start to see that they have every human trait and, you know, there isn't one side of the other. But the greater the distance, usually the greater that degree of unrealistic. And I can tell you that because I've worked with thousands of clients over the last 11 years, and they've been all from all different social, economical backgrounds, from celebrities all the way through to, people that clean the floors in the buildings for the celebrities. And in each one of those, I'm yet to meet one person where what I thought or looked like on the outside, by the time you got talking to them and found out the truth about their lives, there was so much more under the surface. So for people that believe in those misperceptions, they're their own misperceptions, and it's wiser for them to take the time to heal and balance their perceptions of inside of themselves and take the things that they put other people on pedestals for and own those reflectively within themselves, so they can play on the same fields as people instead of putting them on a pedestal and minimizing themselves to them. We call the traits of the greats in my field, where you own the traits of those that you perceive to be great and play in their field and give yourself permission to create as much change in the universe as you see them creating, instead of subordinating to them, because there's something inside of you that the universe needs to see. But for the people that do that, they realize that there's nothing but human beings, and nobody's better or worse, because for every single position that you think a celebrity with all the power in the world, etc., they have a certain set of drawbacks. If you were to have all of those drawbacks, you'd go, wow, that's extreme. And you have, so your life has benefits and drawbacks. The people that you look up to have benefits and drawbacks. People you look down to have benefits and drawbacks. And really, it's about being present and wherever you are, inspired and grateful, but then being empowered enough to set the goals, because we get bored and do dumb things and we don't set inspiring goals. Set the goals in the next seven areas for the next areas of your life. Doesn't mean you're not humble and appreciative for where you are, but you're moving forward. That's right. Anything that's not evolving in nature dies. That's it. If you don't any species that doesn't evolve, gets sent out for the next thing that's created. So we're wiser to align with that universal principle and evolve to the greatest degree we possibly can.
We actually discussed about a lot of things, and that discussion can go. So maybe, I can sum up the points, because we discussed about a lot of points, to be honest. Thank you. You brought some very good points. So maybe we can sum up for the just getting back to burnout. So the very first thing that you mentioned about making a balance, and just self-mastery for those seven areas, I think that's very crucial to just consider, people, audience who experiencing burnout, please just listen. This self-mastery for seven areas absolutely is very crucial. And definitely we discussed about, perfectionism and, just being a way of defining ourselves, in a particular box, because we are complex human beings and we are just, whole, just everything is interconnected. And we discussed about the mind, heart, and all of these things. And the last part of our discussion, I think, was very interesting, that avoiding to go to extremes. And I think that is a very, I never thought about this before, we jumping to this podcast. I never thought that we're going to talk about this, but I'm very happy now that we brought it, because this is, I think, something we definitely need to talk more about and need to hear more about, because yes, going to extremes is a big challenge now and is perhaps a big problem now that we need to solve it, and we need to work it out, because I really appreciate that the points that you brought. And so I know that we can discuss about these things, for hours, but what do you say? Because I already just, did sum up, but what do you say, as one thing or two things more specifically, what just to advise? Thank you.
So the first thing is to get clear on your set of values, www.drdmartini.com/values. Get clear. If you don't know who you are, it's going to be easy to get burnt out doing things that you're not inspired by. That's the first thing. Mm-hmm. Once you get congruent on what your unique set of values are, whether you're interested in personal development, relationships, or you want to become a doctor or whatever that is, once you get congruent in that specific area, set a timetable that is in congruency with your values, where you do more of what you value. Or, you know, if you're in a career where it's not what you're inspired by, you start to do more of the things that you value, so that you can create a strategy to exit that and move towards what's more fulfilling for you. But set an agenda for all seven areas of life that keeps track of your week, but is highly defined by what's most fulfilling and inspiring and valuable to yourself. If you do that and aim to stick to it to the greatest degree, and continue to learn each week and make adjustments, you'll mm-hmm. find that burnout starts to dissipate and dissolve, because it can only exist when you do not have a balance in all seven areas of life and you're tipping the scales in one or a few, but neglecting the others. And if there's just one last piece of advice there, keep an eye on physical. It's not one that everyone's always inspired by, but it's one of the ones that's the most mental and physical are so powerful. And I'm constantly drumming them into clients, because if you don't look after your physical body, it's like a vehicle. You're not going to be here for long. Mm-hmm. To do the things that you love or have an impact on humanity. And the second one is psychology, because when you control the mind, no matter what challenges come your way, you know that you can be out of there within minutes and hours instead of weeks, months, or years.
Yeah.
So that's why I specialize in the mind, but I also move people across to physiology really quickly. So yeah. Keep an eye on those two as well, because if you do well in those two, you can really increase the longevity of that marathon that we're talking about and how long you have an opportunity to do that in life.
Yeah, very good. That is, I think, very clear. It's like a formula. So please, just audience, you know, if you're dealing with burnout, just start writing, you know, your values in seven areas and stick to them. This is a very clear, I think, advice that everyone can do it. It's quite practical. We just need to do it. Yeah. Thank you very much. So can you just, you know, tell us again where audience can find you?
Yes. So the audience can go to emmanuelanthony.com.au. I offer complimentary 20-minute discovery calls with myself or one of our specialized facilitators. We'll take you through and go through whatever challenges you're facing at a particular point in life and see, are we a great match to be able to help you to create the changes that you're after? Obviously on podcasts such as this, you'll find links as well, or you can have a look on Facebook or Instagram. Instagram is Emmanuel H. Anthony, and mm-hmm. Facebook, it's also Emmanuel H. Anthony, but it's got spaces on Facebook. Whereas on Instagram, I think your handle is just all of those with no spaces. But you'll see that on either one of those platforms, I'm aiming to have as many of these interviews and live podcasts and everything on there. So there's just a plethora of content, whether you're reaching out to have a conversation with me one-on-one or just looking to continue to grow and evolve, you'll find both of those quite useful.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Emmanuel. Yeah. So I'm sure that, you know, people get a lot of benefits if they get in touch with you. So as a tradition for my podcast, doesn't have to be about burnout. So just one sentence, one final message that you want to, we are actually going closer to the mid-2021. What's your final message in one sentence that you just want to, you know, finish this podcast with?
Progress over perfection, meaning aim for perfection, but settle for progress every single day. By the inch, it's a cinch. Baby steps every single day towards a highly inspired, targeted vision is what has the only thing that has ever created the greatest in any field. So progress over perfection.
Progress over perfection. That says all. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much, Emmanuel, for your time again. And it was a very good discussion. And see you perhaps next time.
Well, I look forward to it. Thank you. Thanks for having me again.
Thank you. Bye.
Ciao.
Thank you for listening. I'm very looking forward to hear from you. Any feedback, suggestions, and support and subscriptions would be much appreciated. Have a good one. keep shining.